From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson, and I'm joined now by Morning Edition co-host Steve Inskeep. He's the author of the newly published Instant City, Life and Death in Karachi. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you very much.
Steve, you write that Karachi could not have seen the massive population growth it has undergone in the past 60 years without a major influx of immigrants. Who are these immigrants, by and large?
Oh, gosh, they are from all over Pakistan and several other parts of the world. This is a country that's divided among several provinces. Each has its own major ethnic group, its own major language that's spoken. And people go to cities for opportunity, and they've gone to Karachi most of all. And they've also come from other parts of India and Bangladesh and elsewhere. They're looking for opportunity. And this is something that's happened in cities around the world. I mean, it happened in the United States a little bit earlier than some other places, and in Europe earlier than some other places. But if you go back a couple hundred years, I mean, there was no such place as Salt Lake City, really, was there? I mean, people have come to that place, and it's continued growing because people see opportunities there. When a city grows really quickly, I define it as an instant city, a city like Phoenix or a city like Houston, where the metropolitan area has become huge. And in the developing world, they've grown even more quickly since World War II. Karachi is 30 times bigger than it was on Pakistan's independence in 1947. A big part of that is migration.
And Steve, what did you see in Karachi that would fit most Americans' perceptions of a third world city? And what did you see that perhaps would not fit that perception?
I like the way that you asked that question, because you expect to see millions of poor people in a teeming, that's the word that comes up again and again, a teeming city. And you do see that. But you also see a lot of signs of the global economy. You see the Pakistan branches of American firms. You see cell phone companies, advertisements for cell phones. You see glass towers going up by the waterfront. You see upscale restaurants here and there as well. You see that. And you also see this tremendous class division. You see millions of people who are poor, but even them. When you go into a poor neighborhood and you have tea with people and you hear their stories, you realize that a lot of them are excited to have come to this city because it is, in their minds, better, or at least they have a chance to make it better than the villages from which they may have come. And that job where they're getting paid $3 or $4 or $5 a day to work in a textile mill is a lot more than they could make, say, in the war-torn areas up near the border with Afghanistan.
And Steve, is it the tensions that have arisen from the diversity in Pakistan and the fact that it's becoming more and more diverse every year that have led to violence in that country? Is it a direct cause and effect?
I wouldn't put it exactly that way. Karachi actually used to be more diverse than it is today. It actually used to be in 1947, when Pakistan became independent, a majority Hindu city. Pakistan and India were created out of British India, a majority Hindu country, a majority Muslim country, and even though Karachi was on the Muslim side, it had mostly Hindus. They fled or were driven out within a few months, and hundreds of thousands of Muslim refugees came. It became an overwhelmingly Muslim city. On the surface, it was less diverse, but in reality, people found new divisions among themselves, new religious divisions, ethnic divisions, divisions between old-timers and newcomers, and they have struggled to work out those divisions, and different groups have contended for power and contended for money and contended for land ever since. So I think that we can assume that actually this city's diversity has been a strength, and that different kinds of people bring different skills and bring different backgrounds. It's been a struggle to work that out, but making the place less diverse didn't help it at all.
And Steve, give us a quick sense of the events of December 28th, 2009, which, as you write, were mostly ignored here in the United States, and how much we know about who's responsible.
Oh, yeah, let me take you back to December of 2009. If you were paying attention to the news at all in the holiday season, you're probably paying attention to the so-called underwear bomber,
right,
who was caught trying to fly that plane on Christmas Day into Detroit. But there was this other tragedy on December 28th, a far greater tragedy in terms of lives lost in Karachi. A Shiite Muslim religious procession was going through the center of the city, and as they approached the old city hall in the middle of Karachi, it was bombed. Many people were killed, and that was only the beginning of a whole chain of events that, in my mind, reveal the tensions in this city. Men appeared on the streets. Hundreds of shops were burned in a wholesale district in the center of the city, not far from the bombing. There were political debates that spun out for months afterward. There were follow-up bombings that struck other places months afterward. And it was a traumatic series of events. And you end up realizing the many different conflicts in a place like this. There are religious divisions, ethnic divisions, political divisions, but above all, the obsession that seems to underlie everything is the struggle for power, the struggle for money, because it is a rich place in its way, and the struggle for real estate, for land.
And finally, Steve, in addition to talking with officials in your reporting for both this book and for NPR, much of your book and your reporting is based on everyday people in Pakistan. Who are some of the most inspiring people that you might highlight from your trip there?
I kept running into people who wanted to make their city a better place. And I think of Abdul Sattar Eady, a guy who's seen the whole growth of this city from 1947 when he arrived as a migrant. He ended up founding an ambulance service that has cleaned up from so many of these disasters, a low-cost ambulance service that helps the poor. And it's now spread all across Pakistan. Even though he's an eccentric guy who absolutely does things his own way and is still running the service well into his 80s. I think of Dr. Seemin Jamali, a woman who runs an emergency department in Pakistan, the emergency room of a big hospital. A lot of the wounded come to that hospital, and one day in February, as part of this sequence of bombings, the emergency room itself was bombed, and yet they managed to have it open again in less than 24 hours, which is the way people in this city are. They deal with so much, but they get up the next day and go back to work and do what they have to do.
Steve Inskeep is the co-host of NPR's Morning Edition and author of the newly published Instant City, Life and Death in Karachi. Steve, thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.